Well, welcome once again, everybody, the latest edition of the Goldie on Ice podcast. Playoff time, and you know I love countdowns. So six down, 10 to go. And you know what's interesting about the Panthers through a period or a series and a half is I really don't feel like they've had to exert all that much energy yet. Yeah, things have been physical against Boston the last couple of games. Guys have absorbed some hits, thrown some hits. But I really don't think the top Panther players have, you know, exerted too much energy. And a big part of that is their last three wins. I mean, they're like, the Panthers are like Roger Federer in his time. You know what I mean? It's like the last three wins, 6-1, 6-1, 6-2. And by the way, there was a 5-1 loss in there. That game won against Boston. So I think they're in great shape, and it is really, I know it's only 2-1 in the series, so I'm not going to get too ahead, but I got to tell you, and I think even Bruins fans and most NHL observers, everybody picked the Panthers before the series anyway. I thought Panthers in six. I'm looking at either 5 or 6 now. Maybe Boston gets another game, but you look at the body of the 9 periods that have been played, even the game one loss, the Panthers were in very good shape about 33, 34 minutes into that game. So, you know, you look at the body of the 9 periods, high danger scoring chances, all of the analytics, the Panthers' power play, besides scoring all the goals in Game 3, and I talked about this last time here on the podcast, it was good in Game 2. It didn't matter if they didn't score as much because they were keeping the momentum. The power play that hurts you is when you give the other team the momentum because they kill it off so easily. That hasn't been the case. So I do feel like it was a matter of time, and obviously it clicked in a big way. Once the Panthers got the second goal in Game 3, I thought it was really lights out. Little bit of a lapse there in the third period, not the way you want to play. But as we know in hockey, when a team gets up 4-0 and the other team has nothing to lose and they're just going offensively, you know, sometimes things happen. Bobrovsky did have to make a couple of big saves there at 4-2, which I think is great because otherwise, the last two games, no disrespect to Sergei Bobrovsky, who's been fantastic for the last 14 months for the Panthers. You could put a lot of NHL goalies in that Panther net, to be honest with you, most of the last couple of games, and they're going to be good because there was nothing to do. And a guy like Bobrovsky, that makes it even harder because he wants to feel more shots, wants to feel the puck, wants to be in the game. So when they needed him at 4-2 to make a handful of big saves, he certainly did. I think that third period is actually a plus for this team because it can give Paul Maurice and the players a little bit of something to say, hey, we got to get better, we need to do better, when, for all intents and purposes, they flat out have dominated the last 5 periods of this series. Before the 2 third period goals by Boston, the Panthers scored a franchise record 10 consecutive goals. And now over the last 2 games and the 2 wins, they've outscored the Bruins 12-3. So I feel like if you're Boston, it's got to be all hands on deck, throw the kitchen sink at it in game number 4, because realistically, and we said this about the Tampa series, and it's no knock on the Bruins or the Lightning, who are great teams, all things being equal, no one's beaten this Panther team 3 times in a row. So still work to do, but you really like the way they the way they look, the kind of shape they're in right now. And again, you know, not coming from behind, not having to play Barkov and Reinhardt, you know, 22, 24 minutes, really not having to overexert any of their players because it's been a great team effort. And Sam Bennett's return, as expected, huge for this team. I mean, I call him Playoff Sam. It's a nickname under the radar that was given to him as a teenager in Calgary. He's just a playoff player. He's hard charging. He goes to the net. He throws hits. He knocked Marchand out of the game. He lit up Pastrnak. That's just who Sam Bennett is. And it gives guys like Verhaeghe and Tkachuk so much freedom. And the way Tkachuk and Barkov are playing, look, they're superstars, and they're playing like they're superstars. And I thought utterly comical, Boston resorting to Brad Marchand asking Alexander Barkov to fight off the opening faceoff. The Panthers are the better team. They're the deeper team. They've had the advantage so far in the series. there is no chance Alexander Barkov, unless he absolutely has to, is going to fight. Why? You want him on the ice. I thought it was a pretty comical move by the Bruins there. But look, they're trying everything. You know they're going to. And they're going to do it again in Game 4, whether Marchand plays or not. I'm not sure if it's a shoulder. I actually thought he was a little wobbly going to the bench there on that hit early on by Bennett. I was actually surprised that whoever the concussion spotter is in the arena, and I know it doesn't happen often that they pull a guy. For people that don't know, there actually is a concussion spotter in every arena all season in the NHL. And if they think someone needs to be pulled and checked, they'll do it. You may not know about it, and I understand, because it doesn't happen very often. And I was a little surprised that wobble to the bench by Marchand, that they didn't take a look at him. But in any event, the Panthers done a great job again against Boston's star players, McAvoy, Pastrnak, and Marchand, the same job they did for the most part against the Tampa Bay Lightning, in round one. So we're not going to get ahead of ourselves, but to me, it's shaping up like a Panthers-Rangers conference final. Wouldn't that be something? But the Panthers still have six solid periods to play and two more wins to get. But you certainly like the way it's trending right now. As far as the lineup, I know there's so much talk. You know, I do the Game Day Live Q&As on the Panthers Instagram account. If you didn't know that, check it out. You can go on my Twitter, at Goldie on Ice, or my Instagram. And I'll always promote what time it is, and I kind of chat back and forth with all of you guys, and tons of questions about Ryan Lomberg and the lineup. Let me just say this. Paul Maurice has pushed the right buttons for pretty much 2 years, certainly a year and a half. Now, you want to look at those 6 months where, you know, the Panthers weren't playing great to start last season. Go ahead. I didn't think it was his lineups that were the case of that. But pretty much since he's been here, he's got his finger on the pulse of this team. And the fact that he's put Opozo in there and Lawrence really pressed in action because he's an extra center. And those guys have produced in a big way. Kyle Opozo has played great hockey. We all love Ryan Lomberg. We all know what he's done for this team, culture of the team. Gadjevich supplies a key role. But I think in this series, you know, Kyle Opozo is proving against a big team that will crash and bang, and Opozo working along the boards and doing all that dirty work, and a big body and so experienced, you know, it's working right now. So all these guys are factors on this team. I think when Lomberg and Gadjevich get their chance, I think they'll be ready to go. Lawrence, certainly, you got to give this kid a ton of credit. Didn't play much during the season. He comes in, he's producing big goals. He's got speed. He'll bang. And a very big key to keeping Lawrence in there, even over on the wing with Bennett back, because Stenlund's now the fourth line center. Lawrence could take faceoffs. So if you want to get some of your top guys in some situations out of the faceoff circle, a little less taxing. And by the way, Bennett, coming off the injury, it made perfect sense to just have an extra faceoff guy. And by the way, under the radar, Kevin Stenlund also having a great series. And boy, did he take a pounding in Game 3, and he just kept on going. Again, general manager Bill Zito, you look at the contributions this team is getting from Kulikov and Mikkola and Ekman-Larsson and Evan Rodriguez playing great hockey on that line with Lundell and Lostarina now back in that spot with Lundell at center with Bennett's return. Then you throw in Opozo and Lawrence and Stenlund. I mean, amazing acquisitions as the Panthers looked at what they did last year, looked at what happened in the Cup Final against Vegas, coaching staff involved, penalty kill needs to improve. They bring in guys that could handle all of those things. So, 2-1 series lead, Game 4, Sunday night in Boston, and then it's Game 5, Tuesday night at Amerant Bank Arena. It's either going to be a high-pressure game at 2-2, or it will be a second consecutive Game 5 on home ice. Remember, a building that before last year had never seen a Panther clincher and only one potential Panther clincher in the history of the building, and that was Game 7 in 2012, and they lost in double overtime. Tuesday night potentially could be the second straight series clincher at home, and obviously it'll be the third potential one, because remember, they closed out Carolina last year. So after not clinching a series on home ice, South Florida fans had never seen an Amerant Bank Arena. They won two series in 96 at home at Miami Arena. Fans had never seen a clincher and a handshake line. There's a chance that in the last 12 months, we'll have our third one on Tuesday night. But again, don't discount the Boston Bruins. They're going to throw everything they have. They know they need to win game four. They know what they'll be up against if they go down 3-1. But it certainly seems like the Panthers right now, mentally, physically, top to bottom, from the goal out, coaching, the way they're executing the defensive system, just shutting down Boston completely, very few high-danger scoring chances, the Panthers will be well-equipped. And now with all the playoff experience this team has the last 3 years, they certainly know that the Bruins, it's not an elimination game, but realistically, it's a game that Boston needs. All right, everybody, thanks so much. Remember, follow me on Twitter and Instagram, at Goldie on Ice. Got a lot of coverage for you there. It was great not working game three. I was able to interact with so many of you on Twitter during the game at intermissions. So certainly I welcome your questions and comments. And hey, now that I have a little bit of time, I can actually answer you guys. So appreciate all your support. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you soon here on the podcast. Time to take a moment now to tell you about something very important, the fight against pediatric cancer. And we're doing that through SIDES, the SIDES Foundation. Sydney Lister, at age 15, battled Ewing sarcoma, and she beat it, and she's doing great today. Out of that struggle came SIDES, a foundation formed to fight pediatric cancer, to help fund children's cancer research and help South Florida families with kids fighting the disease. Dave Lister is Sid's dad. He's in charge of SIDES and does so much for those families. So I encourage you to help out. Check out SIDES on Facebook, their Facebook page, SIDES. Everything is on there. Or you can also call this important number, 954-594-5763. That's 954-594-5763. Help us, help Dave Lister, and help everybody fight pediatric cancer and help out families that need it through the SIDES Foundation. Well, I want to tell you about Ken Morris, because he's been 33-plus years in the business, a stand-up guy, and recently joined JLL as a senior vice president. Now, JLL is number 185 in the Fortune 500 list, and Ken specializes in industrial properties, warehouse and manufacturer. He handles complex transactions. And the bottom line is, and I know this about him, you're the most important asset. You know, he takes care of his clients. That's what really drives him and keeps him in the business. And he absolutely loves it. He works with Fortune 500 companies and startup companies as well. So any needs that you possibly have, I could tell you this, Ken Morris is the guy. And he's been nice enough to support this podcast right from the beginning. So he's also got a pretty keen eye. Give him a call, 954-240-4400. That's 954-240-4400 for Ken Morris.